This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, hello. Yes, it is time for some more fun. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to bring any more fun to you, so be thankful we've got this episode. I hope you appreciate it and enjoy it. I'm probably going to have to split things into two episodes this week. I had everything set up. I have recorded already at a show with Philip where we went to go see Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. So I had plans already for the show. We talked about our memories of the original film, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some fun bits of trivia about the film Beetlejuice, and I'm going to keep this show to that. We do have some news of some things that happened, and I'm going to just deal with that maybe in a later episode. Maybe we'll do a second episode this week, or at least by next weekend, because we have to do a complete tribute episode with the passing of James Earl Jones and Peter Renaday, two of the great voices and actors. Although one of them had never really intended to be like a full actor that he became, but he had a fantastic voice. And if you don't know the name Peter Renaday, he's Master Splinter and a lot of other, you know, Henry of the Country Bears, Adventures in Odyssey, played a lot of characters. And of course, you know, James Earl Jones is a great voice, but of course he appeared in a lot of movies. He just was a great actor. We'll dedicate some time to them in our next episode and try to do it properly. I think I'm going to try to work together some guests, some people to come on and share some memories of and just enjoy, you know, the careers of them. So that will be coming next week. But for this week, I'm going to keep on with what I had, and we're going to talk the Beetlejuice sequel. Did Philip and I like it or not? You're going to find out later on in this episode as we present the review, and you're going to notice it sounds entirely different because, well, I had to do that with my portable lavalier microphones, so they sound a little different than what I'm on now. So that is why it's going to sound a little different later, so just so you know. And hopefully, as I go along here, the computer will not crash. I've been having a lot of computer problems where I've been getting a blue screen of death again because Microsoft apparently seems that it's been an update that has decided to brick my computer, even though I've managed now to get it to Windows 11 from Windows 10 in the past month when it was bricking it, you know, for previous reasons. And I was a big complicated thing that I thought was going to put the kibosh on being able to get the show going. And yesterday I was going to sit and record, but not only was the computer about to start crashing all through the night that it did, this is just getting older. I pulled a muscle in my back simply by bending down and getting up with trying to move the dishwasher lid out to where I was trying to put some measuring spoons in there. And, oh, it hurt so bad. And I was in so much pain that I was like, there's no way I can record a show like this. Well, I'm feeling a bit better today. I'm still in a little bit of pain, but a nice hot shower this morning really seemed to make quite a bit of difference for me. So I managed to get through my work day. You know, I do have an office job where I'm sitting at a desk doing my job, so that does help. So what are we watching? What are we playing? I haven't really been watching anything, but I will say I'm still playing Final Fantasy 16, and I think I'm starting to get close to the end. I think I'm on my way to the final boss battle, and so then I've got to figure out what I'm going to play next. I thought it might be fun to try to go back to Fallout 3 at one point. James Kennison of That Story Show is a big fan of the Fallout games, and I need kind of an expert maybe to come alongside me, and I thought that might be fun, but he really don't have that kind of time. He's trying to do way too many podcasts. But I do have the thought to jump into Hogwarts Legacy, even though I've played it through once before, but to play it as a Slytherin for October, try to share as much as that I can for scare play. It won't be the scariest game we've ever played, but, you know, me being evil might be scary to some people, and I'm going to just try to be as evil as possible and be a Slytherin this time, even though I do have a lot of other games that I have not played yet that I probably need to sit and play, but, you know, I just felt like playing Hogwarts Legacy. So that will be what is coming up. But let's go ahead and jump towards some main content. Before you hear from Philip and I, let me just share a little bit of Beetlejuice trivia. So this is one of Michael Keaton's favorite roles that he's ever done. You probably knew that. The studio originally wanted to call the film House Ghosts, but Tim Burton jokingly suggested the title Scared Sheetless and was shocked when the studio considered the title. Michael Keaton ad-libbed a lot of his lines. Unlike Keaton, Alec Baldwin hates his performance in the movie. Despite being the title character, Beetlejuice is only on screen for approximately 17 to 18 minutes. He doesn't even show up until after the 25-minute mark in the movie. Keaton was able to shoot his scenes in just 2 weeks. Now, I don't know if they're counting at the 25-minute mark where you see a little bit where he's looking through the paper. Oh, the Maitlands look like a couple of suckers. You know, I don't know if they're counting that. Is that 25 minutes in? I don't know. I just rewatched the first movie again just to kind of, you know, square away things that were in the second one that was in the first one. Anyways, the snake scene in the hallway was done before Michael Keaton was cast as Beetlejuice, and it did not resemble the actor at all. When he was cast, additional stop motion was done with the snake to have the audience know that Beetlejuice was the snake, and it wasn't just some random monster from the Netherworld. One of the few films that managed to say the F word and have a PG rating. Now you're allowed one, you can get a PG-13. In the waiting room at the end of the film, the bottom half of the magician's assistant that Beetlejuice tries to fill up was played by Tim Burton's then-girlfriend. Don't know exactly who that was. Does not say. The character was named after the second brightest star in the Orion constellation that I've heard before. It's spelled a little differently, though. The way you see it in the film, I think, is the way it's spelled for the constellation. Wes Craven was the first choice to direct. That would have been interesting. That would have been more of a horror film, though, at that rate. Otho Fenlock was named after Otho, a Roman emperor of only 3 months, January 15th to April 16th, 69 A.D., When the actor who played Otho, Glenn Sheddix, died in 2010, the last song performed at his memorial service was Deo, the banana boat song. In the forced wedding scene, Lydia's wedding dress is red. This is a reference to the old rhyme about a dress colors, married in red, better off dead. Beetlejuice's name is spoken 15 times throughout the movie, not a quite full even number of 13 because somebody didn't complete. The waiting room scene at the end of the film with Beetlejuice and the witch doctor was added after test audiences loved the titular character so much that they wanted more. And when Adam and Barbara are attempting to scare the Dietzes with Adam's head being cut off, Alec Baldwin was kneeling behind a black show card that was cut around his chin. And that is some fun trivia about Beetlejuice. And now I'm going to toss it over to Philip and I as we are in the car discussing the film. But before, or discussing the original film, before I do that, I will now, of course, remind you about Dubby. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you will find Dubby logos right there. Click on those. You can go straight to Dubby's website and already have your discount applied. If you happen to be a gamer and you want a good energy drink and you don't want the jitters, Dubby has drink powders. You just mix it in with water. Lots of good vitamins and good stuff in there. Give you that energy boost that you need without giving you the jitters. And now, here I go, tossing it to me in the car.
So, all right, I've got actually a funny story of the first film. Mm-hmm. That, so, I remember being, I was in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
And we were sitting, of course, we had a Haskell class. It was a homeroom, but we actually had a bit of a pod thing to go to different classes.
Sure.
But teacher asked what everybody did over the weekend. If you did anything interesting over the weekend. And one one guy, his name is Zach. I won't drop his last name. If he listens, he knows who he is. He got up and proceeded. So, well, we went to go see that Beetlejuice movie. And she says, well, tell us a little bit about it. He proceeded to give the entire story of the movie. And it gets close to the end of like the whole thing. And finally, my teacher's like, well, I didn't mean for you to tell us the entire movie. And he goes, oh, okay, sorry. But yeah, he was going through like little every bit of it. That's and funny. Kind of, you know, spoilery, I guess. Did I remember to turn on the... yes, I did. I think I did. I just realized that I turned on the receiver. Otherwise, it's just all silent. I think I got it turned on. Can you see behind us where the actual receiver is? And reach it?
Oh, it's red. The lights are red.
Well, that is not the receiver. That's the recording device. I'm going to just look to see when I'm talking. Is it showing up? Yes. Okay. I'm going to turn off all the other ends. There we go. Who's barking? Oh, hello, doggies.
Over here barking. Too. Okay. Just all get up. When I first heard, I seen the commercials, of course. This is 1988, and I was in just getting out of sixth grade, and my sister was moving into a new house, and we were helping her move. And coincidentally, she just moved into another house last year, so I thought this is kind of ironic. Every time you move, there'll be another Beetlejuice movie. So when we were helping her move, she had bought the soundtrack. She was a big fan of that kind of music, so we were sitting there listening to Dale, Dale, and we're listening to all that. Anyhow, as we were moving all that, she's telling us about it. So my father took us to see it shortly after that. The movies lasted a lot longer than in the theater.
Yeah. Well, you didn't get it on video until like maybe a year later.
A year or longer sometimes, depending on the film, depending on how big too. In this case, it had already been out a few months, and then it came out at the Dollar Theater.
Oh, yeah.
That was the in-between. Basically, the Dollar Theater is kind of what you have when it goes to DVD now or whatever.
Right.
And or whatever you want to call it. It usually is, you know, sometimes you don't even get its time on the DVD before it's on TV. But used to be, that's the way it was. A long time ago, man, you'd have to rent it. You didn't get a chance to buy it. Some movies did, but not very often. And anyway, it's a lot of different time. But I remember really getting to go see it. I loved it. Loved it. Some things were dark, but I loved it. So then, after already loving it for quite a while, like a year later, they brought out a cartoon of it, and that of course made me love it all the more. And then shortly after the cartoon, they brought out toys. Now the toys are based off of the movie, and I love that. I had some, still do. But then they're based off the movie with somewhat of the cartoon feel. Like the second line was more, they looked like the movie, but had more of some of the cartoon type stuff that they would do. I have some of the cartoon. I need to get the rest of them. I say need. Need is a real loose word.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. And it was different than the movie in the sense that in the movie, I'm not spoiling anything, I'm sure. But in the movie, of course, you have the couple that died. That was Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who Alec Baldwin was at the time. I certainly didn't know him from The Shadow or any of that.
Shadow hadn't come out yet.
Yeah, we had a few, about 4 or 5 years, so about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, anyway, him and Gina Davis both were almost relative unknowns at the time. I mean, Gina Davis had been in The Fly, and then Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yeah, she'd been in a few movies.
Yeah.
She had also been in Tootsie and a couple things like that.
I never did see Tootsie.
Yeah, it's a good film. Oh, you like that. I mean, it's got some things in it, but it's a good film. But anyway, she'd been in a few things, but I liked her in that movie. She was great. Of course, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
We all love Michael Keaton.
Mr. Mom himself at the time.
Yeah, I knew him from that and a couple other things. Yeah,
he was known for being in comedies. And I think the first time I remember him seeing in a serious role was he was playing a cancer patient. He was making videos to pass on to his kid.
He played a drunk already, but most of us didn't know that. And yeah. I didn't know it till later, but he had. He'd already played this drunk. And I can't remember the name of it right now, and I'm sure someone's yelling it at me right now. But he had he did such a good job in that. And, of course, I didn't know much about drinking at that time when I was a kid. And I didn't see it till I was by 20. But, man, he does a great job. The movie that he did later on in life that I love was called My Life.
And I think that was the one I'm thinking of, where he's kind of going, telling his life, and he's about to die of cancer.
That was 1994.
Was it that late?
Yeah.
I remember I think maybe it was... I think I remember when him being drunk and being, he was like in a rehab.
Yes.
I remember seeing it like, this is a serious movie, and I couldn't see Michael Keaton being serious. Like, he's so funny, though.
But he just, he's, some of the
I think it's called Stand and Deliver, but I'm probably wrong. I think that's actually about a black school and a principal who comes in. It might be a Morgan Freeman movie.
Some of the things that he did, you're thinking of Stand By
Me. Clean and Sober. That's the name of the movie. Clean and Sober.
Yeah, it's like Stand By Me, but white and drunk.
Well, no. Stand and Deliver is the movie I was thinking of for some reason, but that's Morgan Freeman, I think, as a principal of the school.
That's Stand By Me.
No, Stand By Me is a Stephen King with a bunch of kids.
Oh, you're thinking of Lean On Me.
No, Lean On Me. Was it is that Lean On Me? Yeah. Which one was Stand and Deliver? Because it was also a principal.
Huh, I don't know.
The ones I remember with the principal, though, is like Morgan Freeman, and he's got the bullhorn.
Yeah, that's Lean On Me.
That's Lean On Me?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a pretty good movie. Yeah. Stand and Deliver.
That's why the theme song is Lean On Me.
Yeah, because that's right. Because they get it all the boys and they sing it and everything, and he wants to sing this and say, like, we should do the school song this way or whatever.
That's a good movie. It's Morgan Freeman to me. Anyway, we're off.
Anyways,
but
Michael Keaton. Love the man. Very funny. Even if Beetlejuice was hilarious.
Some of the reason why they had him as Batman a year after Beetlejuice was because he could do some seriousness with that comedy. Somehow he's so good. Even in Mr. Mom. Now I didn't see it this way as a kid. But with Mr. Mom, even, I watched it many a time since. There's some seriousness in that.
Yeah.
And he's so good at it.
Yeah. It's called acting.
It's acting. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize, too, is the reason why Batman looks like the way he does now is because of Michael Keaton. Because they based that mask off his forebrow. You know, his head, his eyebrows, and his forehead. And so afterwards, even, it's still kind of based off Michael Keaton, and they don't realize it so often, you know. I mean, they did some changes, but not much.
Him and Jack Nicholson both had those eyebrows. I'd love to have some eyebrows like that. That'd be cool.
It's so amazing how they did it, too. I don't even know if it was intentional, but they both, it played off each other so well because of the look.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
To have just that angle to the eyebrows, when you raise your eyebrows to just get that thing going, oh, my goodness. That'd be just such a great look, but it probably would look weird on me.
Well, the great thing about that is you can look serious, you can look scary as heck.
Yeah.
And you can look funny, and, oh, man.
He's got just the right weird kind of angle. You almost got angry eyebrows, but yet they're high enough to where you can tell you're not angry. It just has that little angle there.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff,
Maynard.
Awesome, boss. Well, now this is off subject, but I'll say it anyway. The eyebrow thing, a different one. People call it the Rock look. Before the Rock did it, it was Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, well, because Buzz Lightyear, the whole toy was he was that way.
And that was Buzz Lightyear before the Rock.
Yeah. Well, the Rock just kind of made it his shtick.
Yeah,
that's it. So he was always pulling that.
Yeah,
and I'm like, Popeye that's did not that before. Big deal. I would do it all the time.
And Popeye did it before then.
Yeah. We got the same squeaky eye.
Yves.
It's one of the things I almost half expecting you to get into a little bit. Because one of the things I like about the song, I Am That I Am.
Yeah.
Speaking of Popeye, is that he's going through it. It's like, I have a moral position here in this. And who am I to be able to stand up? I'm not a doctor. I'm a lawyer. But I am who I am. And I know what's right. And I am Popeye the Sailor Man. And I know what's right and true and moral. And I'll stand up because I am what I am. I love that song because it's
we're talking about that.
I don't have to be some educated doctor, lawyer, or physicist.
Yes.
Well, I know what matters.
We're talking about the sermon I just got done preaching. I did a little bit of Popeye stuff, too. But I was more or less going.
I just had that thought. Yeah. You mentioned Popeye.
Yeah, well, I had to stick to the gun, which is the spirituals.
Yeah.
Spinach, which is the word.
The spiritual spinach.
Yeah, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know where I got that plush spinach? That's a dog toy, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I think you mentioned something about that.
Yeah, I had to get to the bottom of it and rip out the squeaky, and even worse than that was a little...
Yeah, you showed me last week, the squeaky part.
And I had to pull out that little... There's, I guess it's a piece of plastic, like wrapper, and they had it in there. It was driving me nuts. Like, I can't have that. Anyway.
So, I might keep this in just to say, by the way, we have another one. If you go look at Moment of Truth Bible Baptist Church, we have a podcast that has the sermons. We also, there's a YouTube channel that you can find that you can watch the entire service. If you happen to still be staying home or you miss the church service or you just want some extra church in your life, go check it out.
Oh,
we got video, we got audio podcasts of the sermons, and he's always got some fun stuff, crazy stuff going on in the sermons.
Usually
he's got like some fun things. Because as we were talking last week, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, and that's he's always got a spoonful of sugar to go with that stuff to make it towards fun and give you something to remember it by. So, and it was today's was using Popeye to kind of get the point across here because you gotta. It's I'm finishing strong. Doggone it! I got it all messed up. What
I was.
Strong to the finish.
That was to the finish.
There we go.
Christ is my... Christ,
which I instantly was thinking, even with Paul, of like, yeah, I'll run the race. I've,
finished
strong. Yep, there we go.
Well, originally I was going to do this one in a week or two, but what happened was I had something, I ordered it, it didn't come in time. I said, all right, I'll do that one now. I already have those things. I have a shield that should be on its way. And I was like, I'm not going to order it and then not use it.
Right.
Because that's not happening.
Just remember, well, maybe God's timing it out by having stuff that you wanted to use for just such a time.
And probably. So, probably the case.
Yeah. And if you had something for Beetlejuice, it would work. There we go. See how I tied it right back over?
There you go. Yeah. One thing.
See what being an evil cuss does and stuff you shouldn't mess with and everything, man. That's there's your spiritual lesson from Beetlejuice. Don't mess with nasty things because bad things can happen.
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
Yes. Be worried about anybody who says, I've seen The Exorcist 57 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it. Not to mention you're talking to a dead guy here.
That's right.
So, yeah.
But one thing my dad was really good at this stuff when I was a kid. He'd say, I like that you like it for the comedy. He goes, just don't go get involved with spiritual things. He was right. Comedies are good and everything, but the problem is, and here's the truth, some people do get involved with scary spiritual things and they think there's no harm in it. Now, I'm not saying there's any harm with Beetlejuice and all that, but sometimes people get just a smidge dark and they stay on the dark side. I'll just be honest, Tim Burton gets a bit dark for me sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he will. He did direct this one, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Good, good.
But he does get kind of a little dark. And sometimes he does have an idea. He produces and everything, the idea, but he lets somebody else direct, kind of like the Nightmare Before Christmas. He didn't actually direct that.
No.
Because he didn't really know how to do stop motion.
He was the creator more than... Yeah, he only done... The only stop motion that he did that I know was pretty short.
Yeah.
And I really love that one.
The Frankenstein...
Yeah,
that's not the short. I mean, he did a live action of the Frankenweenie, and then they did the animation one later.
He did a stop animation one with the kid. It was a... what was his name? I can't think of his name right now. It's a young man.
I think where he's like a fan
Vincent,
of... Yeah, it's
Van
Vincent
Gogh
or whatever. It's like it's an Edgar Allan Poe trick thing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad?
I'm fuzzy on the whole good bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
All right, so we've just left the theater, and accidentally the drive to the theater, I forgot to hit the record button, so we didn't get our discussion how Winona Ryder was mostly unknown before the original film.
Yeah,
and got to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we mentioned like Edward Scissorhands, where she had the blonde wig or something.
Edward Scissorhands.
And Heathers and all that kind of stuff.
But she did Heathers, and she did, what was the other one? Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, we discussed the fact that she was playing the 13-year-old cousin that,
mm-hmm,
that he
that's
had married.
Right.
So now we've just walked out of Beetlejuice,
mm-hmm,
and I can definitely tell there. Tim Burton in style, he's matured a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He's not as over the top in style, so it didn't have exactly the same weird look and feel of the other one. Although it did have that over the top weird and goofiness, and I think even some of the writers, I recognize their names, I think might have written like the original one, and even I think worked on Batman with him, because like Alfred Gohl, Miles Miller, there were names that I'm familiar with from Tim Burton films that he's worked with before coming back. I want to be careful we don't spoil, because
I don't want to spoil anything.
The plot, they didn't really give you much of the plot in the trailers, and honestly, the plot wanders a little bit. There's like multiple things going on. You didn't get buckled in. There's multiple things going on that aren't really tied together, and you don't know exactly where they're going. And some stuff that I thought was going to be a big thing, or kind of like, okay, well, actually, this is events that is happening. But every plot is like, there's like different things that are coming together that are, it's basically, it's just fun, but it's not as cohesive as the original film was for having like one major plot line. This one has like three major stories going on, that they kind of resolve them at the same time, but I didn't feel like it was a cohesive thing of, well, what's really going on? What does this person who I thought was the villain really want? But there's another villain that plot line's going on. So,
but they're smart in the storytelling, because it kind of gives you a wink where you're like, this person doesn't seem right, and then you start figuring that out. Doesn't take too long.
Yeah,
they're real good that way. They give you winks, more or less, like something isn't quite up and up. I like that, because it's not like it's a deep detective film or anything.
Yeah, although Willem Dafoe's character thought he was in a deep detective film. He was so funny.
He reminded me of in this. You can see half his brain hanging out. It reminds me of Two-Face meets I don't know what, but he reminded me of a Mel Gibson character like on Lethal Weapon or something, meets this or that. He was so good.
Yeah.
I loved him.
Willem Dafoe, give him a chance to eat up the scenery and he'll do it.
Chew it up, man.
Which I think it was perfect for that, because with his little bit where he's like talking about trying to not be over the top, because sometimes Willem Dafoe is a little over the top, but he's just enough over the top to where he's good.
Willem Dafoe is?
Yeah.
He's great.
But he's just enough over the top to where it's still believable and you still love him for the performance he gives.
His voice is amazing. I know some commercial lately where I think it's sports. What is this? A Nike or something where he's just talking about sports and he's a sport and he's got that voice and he's so great.
He is. And I didn't even realize he was in this movie.
I forgot he was.
Oh my goodness.
Danny DeVito makes a surprise.
Danny DeVito making a great throwback to the Penguin.
Yes, absolutely.
And the stuff coming out of his mouth even.
Oh, he was so great. And there's a few people who kind of, I'm like, oh, here he, oh yeah, okay. And they did a good job.
They did a great job. It's a fun time. But here's the thing. I have to put out the warning. They still got a PG-13, but they really leaned close to they could have an R, because it's gory.
And they did say,
you can say you drop one F bomb and get a PG-13. If you drop it a second time, you get the R. The second time he was going to say it, it's bleeped out.
Which
makes
it funny. It was funny.
So
that was funny.
Yeah,
I thought that was really funny.
It's a slow pickup and has some, you all kind of laughing at that, but then by the time you get to the end, it is a laugh riot. It was really hilarious, maybe even funnier than the first one.
Yeah, of course, I'll always like the first one best, but I waited a long time for this.
Yes,
we
waited a long time for follow-up on this.
I was very happy with it.
But yeah, I was happy. I had a lot of fun with it. I was laughing and stuff, and a lot of even good punny kind of jokes.
Yes, they did.
But I do want to warn you, because you know, you get to see how everybody died when they're a ghost, and some of them, it's just like, it's a little bit too gross. It's a little horror movie, and there's a little extra splatter going on with one particular character.
Yeah, but that was humorous how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, having a sense of humor, but it's still gross. The makeup effects are a lot more high tech than what they had back in 87.
Yeah.
So stuff looks more realistic. So if they want to have, this person's constantly going to be spewing blood out, then
because they had to make it in 87 when it came out in 88. And and that's the thing about the film was like, now, you know, back then you did a lot of stop animation.
Yeah.
So
they still did some.
They did some stop animation, but they did some in computer where it looks almost stop animation.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. But yeah, they did one part, and I'm not giving anything away, but they did it in a stop animation style, and that was amazing. I was so happy.
It was a good way to do it, because there's a certain actor that, you know, was not going to make an appearance, but they wanted to have his character.
Yeah.
So I appreciate how they did it.
Yeah, they did what they had to do. Yeah. And I thought that was really good.
Yeah. So it was nice to be able to have the character acknowledged.
Yeah, like, you know, enough.
And do more than just like, oh, well, he's already dead off screen. You get more of that character.
Yeah.
As we go through, but I don't want to say any more because I don't want to ruin anything. everything.
Yeah, they did a good job.
And it's great. Oh, goodness. Can I tell you how much I just... Catherine O'Hara is just... She's so funny. I just love her. She's just a delight. She's hilarious.
Her voice is amazing.
Yes.
There's something about her voice. She's in a lot of movies I love that Christopher Guest...
Yes.
And so, a few things she said in this movie. I don't know if any of you who are listening are Christopher Guest fans. Like, some of his movies are amazing.
Yeah.
Great director. By the way, they're doing a... another Spinal Tap film.
Oh, they've been talking about that for such a long time, and finally going to happen.
Yeah, but okay, because the reason I said third is because there is an anniversary thing.
Yeah,
which I have. Anyway, in this part, she was saying a few words that sound like some of her roles in the Christopher Guest thing. Some of the words she said. It's so great. I was like, hey, I love her.
But it's just funny watching her get completely into the Delia Dietz character again. It's like you can see it. So, and Winona Ryder getting right back into that Lydia Dietz kind of monotone.
The girl who played her daughter.
Yeah, Jenny Ortega, which she's been playing Wednesday Addams for Netflix, which I haven't watched.
That's right. I haven't watched it either.
Mainly because I was like, oh, well, that might be fun. But I like all of the Addams Family. I'm not particular towards Wednesday, so I wasn't really that interested. Plus, seeing the bit where she unleashes piranhas into the swimming pool, I was like, well, that doesn't get you sent to boarding school. That gets you arrested. That's attempted murder. And it's when the Addams Family in those movies, when they would do it to each other, it was no biggie. But if you do it to an outside person, that's where you're going to get in trouble with the outside. So that didn't make sense to me. I was like, something's just not sitting. Even though I think the casting was great. But yeah, so I've never watched her in anything until this. And I think she was great.
Yeah, she did a really good job.
She did a good job.
Really, everybody did.
Yeah, great casting in this. Michael Keaton still's got it, boy. Still got it. Oh.
We went to a theater, and I guess I didn't realize what tickets I bought. They were expensive.
Yeah.
I was thinking, man, why is it costing so much? Because a week ago I bought a movie, and it was 20 for two people. This time it's 40. I'm like, what in the world? So, but I went ahead and got it because I wanted to see it. So I go to see it, and suddenly I realize it's the kind of screen, it's like whatever they call it, Max or X or whatever. Yeah,
they call it a name, but basically they're using the IMAX print without an IMAX screen, so it's casting it onto the walls.
And then it goes to the sidewalls too, not on the whole movie, but on certain parts.
Yeah, certain scenes where they want it to be
So when you're going into the film, it's just like the first one, the music and your model and all that, or whatever you want to call it, the town. And so you feel like, because of the size of the screen and all that we were watching, it felt like we were really going into it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was nice to have that level of immersion, but it doesn't quite fit proportionally with projection on the wall, so it doesn't work as well, but they'll charge you twice as much to sit in it.
But now, the first time I did that, I was seeing
Aquaman as a
first time. No, that's the second one. Yeah. But the first time I did it, I was, this was a long time ago, I was with someone else. It was on my birthday. I was seeing that, what was it called?
I don't know.
It was Deep Blue something. Anyway, it was about a big shark.
Oh, right? Deep Blue Sea?
Something.
Well, was that on an actual IMAX?
Yeah, that was at the Zach Theater.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know they were doing that back at that time with Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty, not Deep Blue Sea, it was Deep something. Anyway, it was a few years ago. And it was a, big shark movie, basically. And it was kind of...
Was it the Megalodon thing?
Yeah, that's what it was. But I felt like it was pretty neat because it looked like you were going under the water with those walls.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
And it was kind of nifty in Aquaman when they used it because it brought you into the storm when he's out on the boat in the storm,
But with this movie here, it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
Well, definitely, I'm going to give it a recommendation, but I don't know if about bringing your younger kids because, like I said, it is kind of gross and graphic, and it was almost the level of comedy horror big time.
Yeah, which I'm assuming most people suspect.
But more so than, like, the original. They pushed it a bit more than I think was necessary. But still, it was a lot of fun. It was hilarious. I had a great time with this movie. So, two thumbs up for me. Go see it. Go see it with your adult or older kids. Don't take your little kids thinking, oh, it's Beetlejuice. It'll be fun. They had a cartoon. It's like, okay, well, this isn't like the cartoons.
No, not that.
So, heck, the cartoons weren't even like the original movie.
No, they had to change it.
So,
in order to get it on TV.
Yeah. Plus, it wouldn't have made sense because it seemed at the first one, he's stuck in there. His head's been shrunk. He's been swallowed by a sandworm, which, I can't really say that. But, yep, and that's where I'm going to end this part of the show. Okay, and one thing I want to toss to y'all, keep in mind, watch the first Beetlejuice film and keep a thought in your head that he pulls a ring finger out and takes a ring off and says, oh, she meant nothing to me. Remember that, and you'll get kind of a subtle bit of a joke that's in the second film
that I talked with Philip about. I think after recording, I think I'd stopped. Well, I might have still been rolling, but I don't intend to put that in there. I don't want to spoil anything. But there is a joke there, so to keep that in mind. But at this point, we'd like to thank Podgagement, which, of course, is Daniel J. Lewis's company. He has a great service. If you happen to be a podcaster, you want to be able to see your reviews from all around the world and from all the different services. Podgagement, he's got methods for you. I've got links for you. He's doing some special offers and discounts, of which I wish I remember off. He sent out an email. You can get to that link actually on the Neverland Podcast website. I do have links for Podgagement. I get a little kickback if you go and do that, and I would appreciate it. And you will enjoy the service, trust me. While you're at NeverlandPodcast.com, make sure you join the Neverlanders. We have Lost Boys and Pixies. Why do we have Pixies? Because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. We would like to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. Don't forget you can email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter or X at NeverlandPcast. We are on Facebook. There is a group and a like page. Go ahead and do both. But you'll have more fun with the group because I have an easier time posting things to the group. I don't have to like log into a different account. So come in to join us on the group. We do have some fun. I share a lot of fun news, find a lot of fun retro things on Facebook that I share over there too, about some old movies, old TV shows, old toys, lots of different fun things going on in the Facebook group. So come on and join us. Don't forget, of course, that you can donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. It's a great way to be able to help out the show and that you get rid of the annoying ads that I put into the beginning, end, and middle of the show, which is also, if you'd like to find another way, right there in your show notes, you'll find a link for the Red Circle exclusive membership to the show, subscription, membership, whatever. Through that exclusive membership, you also, I make sure I put a version of the show up that does not have ads in there. And also, when we're going to do a trailer park episode, which I didn't get one in there this week, I just wanted to throw something together. There will be a trailer park in the next show because all the news coming in, I had too much stuff landing in here and... So I'm going to do a second show with all the other stuff, so we have time to be able to tribute to both James Earl Jones and Peter Renaday. That's coming next week. I didn't want to put that in there with the same episode that we're going to talk Beetlejuice so much. I wanted to make sure I gave them some proper time to tribute. So that will be next time. So make sure you do come back. There will be ads in that one unless you're in a Red Circle exclusive or Patreon. So keep that in mind before next week. Make sure you share the show if you're enjoying this. Please share it with others. We need to rebuild our audience because after some changes were made, we did lose a lot of people, but we are actually slowly growing back. And you can be a part of helping that grow. Help us share the fun. I do appreciate that because, you know, I'm having fun here. I want you to have fun here, and I want your friends to have fun with us. And we get our own community going that way, and so we can all have fun together. All right, but that's all I have for you this week, so get lost. In an adventure! And I'll see you next time.